Good morning, good morning. How many are ready to get into the Word for a little bit and see if God doesn't have something to say to us today? You ready for that? Amen. How many know that you need more wisdom? Okay, that's wisdom in by itself. How many would like to gain some wisdom rather than how we normally get it? And here's how I think we normally get it. We get it right after we actually needed it. Right? School of hard knocks, right? If we would have had it moments before, we wouldn't have, you know, stepped in it. We wouldn't have put our foot in our own mouth, stuff like this. But I actually believe the Bible is set up so we can garner wisdom before we ever needed it. So that's what we're going to be getting into, a book of Proverbs. If you don't know what that means, I'm going to be explaining it all to you today. But I also want to just take a minute to talk to you watching us online right now. We are so thrilled that you're tuning in here at Navigation Church. You're always welcome to stop by anytime you're in the area. Actually met someone during the first service that they started out just like you watching us online, and now they've been coming after a couple weeks. And so you're always welcome to stop by. Let's say it like this: the greatest church in all of the Metro East area. There it is. If not, just keep watching us online. We love having you. So when it comes to a brand new series or a conversation that we're about to have, a campaign that we're launching out on, it is my job as the lead pastor and main communicator to have something to grab your attention that makes you want to think, I need this. I have to have this. I want this in my life. And over the last couple weeks, as I've been laying out the sermons and getting them together and thinking about it, I've got nothing. And dare I say, today's sermon was as bland as you could get. Like, it wasn't exciting me, and I'm like, how can I do this, and what can I do to engage everyone coming to listen, and God, can you help me out? Because if not, it's just me awkwardly standing in front of them for 30 minutes and then dozing off but feeling bad because they think I saw them, which I do. So it's bad for both of us. And we're going throughout the week, and I finally figured, you know, God, if you're not going to give me an opening story or opening thought, I don't care. I'll just jump right into Proverbs 1, and we'll get to business. And then Friday happened. What is Friday? Well, if you're in my family, it's either soccer or baseball right now. So I had to take my kids over to St. Louis for a soccer game, and I actually had two of my boys and my baby girl, which, by the way, am I allowed to keep calling her baby girl? She's three. Okay, thank you, dads with daughters. I appreciate it. She's going to be baby girl. At 16, if I need to stop, let me know then. But for right now, baby girl. So we're on our way over, and I tell my one boy, I said this, I go, hey, we're driving all the way over here to St. Louis, which is about an hour trip, because you have to get there early. You have an hour soccer game for an hour drive back home, and I need to know if you're coming to play tonight. Actually, I'm sorry, you had two games, so it's going to be about a four-hour endeavor. I said, I need to know if you're coming to play tonight, because if not, I'm turning the car around, not because you're in trouble, because I don't want to watch you just be out there kicking a ball and not caring, because I have a three-year-old that if any parents ever try to watch a game with a three-year-old, you don't watch it. You don't watch the game, do you? What do? You chase them. Unless you found out my new game, which this doesn't have to do with the story, but it's fantastic. They're playing the soccer game, and right over to my left, about where the speaker is, there was a bicycle fencing. Do you know what that is? It's a silver one with a bunch of bars on it, bicycle rack fencing. And we started playing a game called jail, where I'd walk her, put her in jail, lock her, and go, you're in jail for 2 minutes. And I could turn my back and watch the soccer game. And then I would get her out of jail, and she would put me in jail, but she told me I had 5 minutes, which I was fine with because there was a light pole I could sit on. So I found how to play soccer. You watch soccer and watch a little child, you play incarceration. So if anyone wants that game, you're welcome to it. But it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So I tell my boy, I go, if we're going over here for you not to have your game face on, just let me know now. We'll turn around and save ourselves time. And he goes, I'm going to play hard. And I go, how are you going to play? And he starts saying, I'm going to be defensive, and I'm going to play hard. And if they get my ball, I'm going to get my ball back. And so he started pumping himself up. We get there. He starts the game. His first rotation in, he does great. Then he goes to the bench. When he comes back on, he had wet his hands and spiked his hair up in the center. So it's almost like he put a game face on. He told me later if he could put spikes on his shoulder and face paint. No, he didn't say that, but like that's what it felt like. He was pumped, ready to play. And he played out of his mind. The first game, we killed him. They could not get past our defense, which my boy was on defense most of the time. They were working it out of the backfield. It was wonderful, wonderful time. So then, 7 minute break, they have another hour long game. And who do they face? A team who hasn't played yet. So who do you think came out hot, ready to go? the other team, right? And so they got off to a slow start, eventually got into it, somewhere around the middle of the first half and all the way through the second. We played 50-50 ball, but they had the lead already, so they won. After the game, the coach decided to have a 15-minute coaching session on a Friday night when I just want to get home. Thank you. I guess you don't have kids. So unless you're watching, we're thrilled that you're tuning in. Keep forgetting about that darn internet sitting right there. So my boy comes walking over to me, and when your kids have ever walked up to you, you can tell when they're down, right? And I'm thinking, if the coach lipped off to you, now I'm going to go smack you for a second reason. You made my kid feel bad. But my boy's walking over, and I go, buddy, what's the matter? He goes, man, first part of this game, I was so flat. I was so tired. I was the worst I've ever played. And he's almost in tears. And I'm sitting here going, this is some of the best soccer I've ever seen you play. And I go, man, you did great. Don't worry about it. They came out hot. It's just natural. You guys are used to be done playing at this point. And he starts beating himself up again. And I finally said this to you, I promise. I looked right at him and I said, would you trust the words of your father over the feelings that you're having in this moment? And he goes, yep. The tears dried up. We went on, and it was smiles after that. So what is the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs is trusting the words of a father over the feelings of a son. Because sons, can we be honest? We're dumb sometimes. We have these things called hormones that will get us in trouble. Can I get an amen from any man out there? Right? Sometimes society tells us something. It sounds good, but it isn't good. And so what Solomon, this book of Proverbs, the author of this, he's coming to his son going, I have some wisdom for you that I want to give you. And by the way, Solomon, brilliant guy. He's an artist. He's a philosopher. He's an architect. He's a king. He's a father. He's all these different things. But in this one place, he's going to end up being an author. But you got to ask the question, who is Solomon and his writings? Why is it important? Well, Solomon, who's the son of King David, how many have ever heard of him? Man after God's own heart. We've talked about, I know in Navigation Church, we've talked about him in the past. Solomon is his son. He's now taken over the kingdom. And Solomon's in the middle of building his temple. And you can read all about this in 1 Kings chapter 3. And by the way, if you want to know exactly what some of these notes are, make sure to download our app, open it up, click the connect button, Sunday morning service, and sermon notes, and all of the sermon notes are provided for you today, and there's a spot below them where you can add some additional thoughts, because sometimes I accidentally say something profound. You'll want to capture it. It won't happen again. Doesn't happen very often. So you want to capture that. So in 1 Kings 3 here, Solomon, he's building his temple, but there isn't a place to actually worship his God. But over on another mountain, there actually is a place for them to go to worship. So Solomon, rather than taking the amount of sacrifices he was supposed to, he took thousands. And he went there, sacrificed to God, and went above and beyond the worship that God had called him to. God was so pleased with it, he turned to Solomon. And I know most of us think you have to find some magic lamp, rub it, genie comes out, gives you three wishes. That's not true. God will give you one wish, theologically speaking. So God said to Solomon, I'll give you one wish. What is your wish? Solomon thought about it, and he goes, I wish for wisdom. And God was so impressed with his wish, because God actually said, you know, you could have asked for vengeance on your enemy, you could ask for long life, you could have asked for wealth, but you ready for this? You're very wise in asking for wisdom. So God granted the gift of wisdom to Solomon, and you immediately see it happen. And here's what it looks like. Solomon's back at his kingdom. Two prostitutes come in with one baby, a live baby. And the two prostitutes that are standing in front of him, the lady with the live baby says, this is my baby. The lady with no baby says, she has my baby. And the reason she has my baby is, last night we were both sleeping, she rolled over on her baby and suffocated it. She switched out her dead baby for my live baby, hoping I wouldn't notice. But the problem is, every mother can say this, I know my baby, right? And so Solomon's standing there, you can't do DNA tests. Right? You can't do lie detectors. He has to decide which woman's being honest in front of him. So Solomon says this, bring me a sword. They bring him a sword. He takes the baby and goes, here's what we'll do. Since we can't decide, we'll cut the baby in half and each get half of it. And the ladies, who it wasn't her baby, goes, let's do it. And the real moms, how did she respond? Thank you. Thank you. Like, absolutely not. Why? Because I'd rather my baby be alive with someone else than dead with no one. So Solomon looked at the mom that said, let the baby live, and said, it's your kid. And so right then, the kingdom started seeing his wisdom, because who thinks about handling it that way? Which, a complete side note, all of my counseling training is from Solomon. So if you need to meet with me, feel free, but bring a sword, I take notes. So like, so this is Solomon in his wisdom, and you can go on and on. Other nations would come and travel just to hear of his wisdom. So Solomon ends up writing a book called Proverbs. Actually, he wrote a couple books. One of the books that he wrote was Ecclesiastes, where he's a philosopher. He wrote Song of Psalms, where you see that he's a poet. But in Proverbs, you see that he's a sage. And right at the beginning, very beginning of Proverbs, he tells us the reason that he's writing it. And so verses 1 through 6 is going to tell us why we need to read Proverbs. I have them both in the apps as well as providing them on the screen. And it says this, the book of Proverbs is to gain wisdom and instruction. How many think those are a couple good things we should have? For understanding words of insight, to receive instruction for prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. All qualities that I think I would want and you would want. Right? For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and the riddles of the wise. So why do we need to do this? So that we know how to live in a wisely manner. And so here's a lesson as parents for me that I'm taking note of. As Solomon is writing these things to his son, he does it this way. He does it blunt and to the point. Parents, there are certain times in our life when a conversation comes up. And by the way, I can't tell you what this conversation is, but one of my boys said a new word the other day. And I go, what does that mean? And then he looked at mom and he goes, well, it's embarrassing to say it in front of her. Mom, you need to leave. Son, we're having a conversation. I wasn't going to act like he didn't say it. Why? Because Solomon says, be blunt to it. When it comes to, and Solomon, by the way, when it comes to adulterous women, I'm going to tell you who she is, what she is, and why you shouldn't be with her. When it comes to the drunkard, I'm going to tell you what to expect out of that guy. When it comes to the lazy person, I'm going to tell you what to expect. The cheat, the steal, all of these topics are covered in the book of Proverbs, and Solomon does it on the nose, to the point, which, by the way, I don't think is a bad parenting lesson for us. Because for me, this is my personal opinion, I can't prove this to you in the Bible, I'm not planning on having conversations with the boys. I'm planning on taking advantage of every conversation with the boys, right? Because they're going to keep learning at different ages. And the one thing I want them to know is that every time they hear something on the soccer field, on the baseball field, at school, with a friend, that they can come home to me with every door open and every bridge available, not in a judgment way, but in a father to a son to say, oh, hang on, let me tell you about that adulterous woman. I can tell you where you go when you go down that road. So point number one, I guess, and by the way, today it's kind of an introduction to the book of Proverbs. So this is kind of your 30,000-foot view, because over the next couple weeks we'll get deeper into it. So the first, what is Proverbs? It's verses 1 through 6. The second point of Proverbs, well, throughout the book you'll see this. You're either wise or you're a fool. There's two categories. Oh, FYI, you kind of, like, we're aiming for this one. I don't know if you know that. I know you're looking at me going, are you sure you don't default to? I do, but I'm trying to raise myself up here. So the goal is to go to the wise one. And here's what, when it comes to a fool, it isn't an intellectual thing. It is someone who's not willing to let their character be molded by God. I'm going to do what I want because I want to do it. That's how we're going to look at a fool. But wisdom, and by the way, some of you are going to want to say amen on this, wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. Hey, a couple of you smiled way too big. You're on my page. I mean, if it wasn't for grading on a curve, we would have been on the downhill slope, right? So if I have to have a high IQ to get wisdom, then me no ever be smart. Like, it's just not going to happen. But here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is practically applying truth in the right situation. Because, ready for this, how many have ever heard the phrase, the Bible has an answer for everything? Okay, no. See, you don't want to answer because you think I'm going to either prove it right or prove it wrong. So how many have ever heard the Bible has an answer for everything? I disagree. I think there are a lot of gray areas in the Bible. For instance, the Bible did not have an answer for me who I was supposed to marry. I looked at the very back to see if in 2004, under the month of November, there was a wedding date scheduled, which, by the way, I got most of that wrong in the first service, so I'm really proud of myself right now. Like, I had to keep checking, and I was off by 4 years on our anniversary. So, whew, yeah. Buy me another ring. After today, I might. But, like, nowhere did it say there's a Cammie Kramemeyer that will be waiting for you at the end of the altar. There's your answer. But here's what the Bible did have for me. He had some guidelines of what a godly woman looked like. So there's a gray area on the who, but the what, God tries to make it very clear. And so a wise man will get in there to try to find the truth of what a godly woman looks like, and hopefully she was looking in to see what a godly man would look like in order when she looks at me, she goes, okay, he has a job, he has a work ethic, he's hot as can be. That was her saying it, not me. I'm sorry, that was her. But in looking at that, now she can evaluate, is this where I need to go? Is this who I need to be with? And I'll tell you now, how many have considered changing job careers? Did you get in the Bible to say that in 2019 you should now become an electrician? Right? Seems pretty gray to me. It seems to be unanswered. But here's the great thing. There's aspects of the Bible. Do you know the Bible actually tells us how we should be workers? And he compares us to an ant? Amen. Like, you don't want these little things that you do the micro. No, you don't do that with them. You leave them be because they're God's creation. But here's the thing that we have to learn as a people. We have to learn how to properly interpret the scriptures. So I'm going to give you some inside knowledge that you need to know. It is possible to know enough about the Bible to make the Bible say anything you want it to. Think about this. Every cult, every wrong religion, every false belief knows enough of Bible to take the Bible scriptures and manipulate it to say what they want. And I'm going to let you on. Your own pastors do this. Pastor Aaron and Pastor Brent, I don't mind calling them out. I don't. I love the guys, but they need to hear this. They actually use Proverbs 6:6. That says, allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. And they quote it when they're on their eighth cup of coffee. God says, let no slumber come. And they're like, I go back to Starbucks. I'm like, no, you're addicted. You're addicted. But I do too. I don't mean to, but I do too. Here, Proverbs 9:17 says, food eaten in secrecy is delicious. God affirms late night snacking. He does. Listen, I don't know why my wife keeps buying ho-hos, but when I go down and no one knows and you have to open the oven because you don't want too much light to come out, most of the story's not true, but a lot is, and then you're wrapping it and you put the recycling away so you feel good about yourself, and then you're like, I don't care what my belly looks like. God actually says you should do that. According to Proverbs 19:17. Men, I'm going to help you out right now. Ready for this one? Proverbs 12:12. The Lord detests the lying lips, but delights in men that are truthful. So the next time she says, does this outfit make me look fat? Use that scripture however you want. There is no way I'm giving a punchline on that one. There is absolutely no way you're going to catch me doing that one. Proverbs 28:1 says this, a wicked man runs when no one is chasing them. I want to take up jogging. Bible clearly says that you should not just leave your house for no reason and run. You're a wicked man. Stop running. Okay, so by the way, I'm doing this for you because you need to learn. By the way, I have one more. But it's the most offensive of all of them. And if I get enough, like, I'll say, skip it. Oh, okay. Currently, I'll play the fool. Proverbs 20. I'll do it. You know why? I have enough wisdom to know Pastor Brent and Aaron will clean it up. Because they'll have enough energy to. All right. Proverbs 11:22. I feel like I should, just so you know, I just started sweating because of this joke coming up. I'm shaking. Like, Okay, here we go. You know what? Going for it. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So ladies, swimsuit season's coming up. It's a responsibility, not a right. Biblically speaking, according to Proverbs 11:22, I'm just trying to help you out. But here, I say all that to say this. We need to properly interpret the scriptures. Because if not, we can manipulate it to get out of it what we want versus being a wise man to say, what is it really saying to us, right? Okay, so now here's the third way. And by the way, this is in your app and on the screen because it's really confusing, and I hope you think I'm profound when I read it to you. So I found this definition of what the Proverbs are, and personally, it's the best single definition that I found. I'm not saying there's not better out there, but here's one that I like. It says this, a proverb is always a parable expressed in a brief, pithy sentence, a vivid and striking speech, and a rapidly drawn picture. Okay? It goes on to say, it has clearly recognizable purpose, that of quickening and apprehension of real versus the wished upon. The real as distinct versus the wished upon. Compelling the hearer or the reader, the people that are hearing it and reading it, you have to now form a judgment upon yourself, upon the situation, and upon our conduct. So right now, we would all go, that does sound smart. And then let's go ahead and be honest. Not really sure what it's saying. Okay, but here's, I promise you, you already know what that definition means. And here's how I'm going to prove it to you. Finish this statement. Absence makes the heart. Apple a day keeps the. Beauty is in the eye of. Beggars can't be. Better safe. No pain. Here's the thing. You even know a bunch about animals. Ready for this? Early bird. Birds of a feather. When the cat's away. Every dog. So congratulations. You already know a ton of proverbs that don't exist in the Bible. So proud of you right now. That's fantastic. Excited. They basically should come with numbers that are going to be your lucky ones at the end of the day. So that was a fortune cookie that didn't work, but... So as soon as you read early bird gets the worm, you immediately have a picture, a thought, and a reason why. When I say garbage in, garbage out, you know what that metaphor is talking about. And if all you do is put trash in your life, don't expect for trash to be the thing coming back out. That's what a Proverbs is. It paints a picture in our mind that's small and succinct, but yet it can be used for words of wisdom in the days to come. And so what we need to do, though, when it comes to the book of Proverbs, where we'll find wisdom, we actually need to learn some of these proverbs, and here's the big key, that are God-inspired. Because God-inspired is going to be perfect truth across the board that will always bring life and not death. And so the next thing is, these were meant to be read out loud. They were meant to be public. They were meant to be something that you memorize. So I know there's a lot of men in the church, just because I know our men's ministry pretty well, that they have committed to read one Proverbs every day. So there's 31 Proverbs. Here's what it looks like. You guys are smart. You'll be able to follow me on this. Day one of any month, you read chapter one. Day two of any month, you read chapter two. Not three. No, I'm sorry. It's two. Day three is chapter. Okay, so in order to read the Proverbs every single month, you read just a chapter a day on the day it is. And by the way, I think that is fantastic. I think getting the scriptures and knowing the scriptures is great. But these are actually meant to be memorized and have impact on you. So I can tell you now, as I've just been studying this, I got a brand new proverb that I've never seen before. Proverbs 14 that says this. That anytime you put out hard work, it'll always have a return, but someone who just runs their mouth will end up being bankrupt. And I started thinking, how many things in my life do I want to accomplish that I've talked about it, I've maybe even planned it, I possibly scheduled it, but then never got to it? Here's what my Proverbs taught me. Eventually, I'll be a bankrupt individual. Versus, put in the hard work. And maybe the prosperity is, you know, a sermon, a book, my kids, and maybe it's natural. It could be financial. I don't know, but I know this. I won't come up void because of it. So it's great to read through all the Proverbs, but in that day, find the one that sticks out to you. Stop there, soak it in, and get it. Okay, so number one, it's the instruction from a son to a father. Number two, we're learning to be wise versus a fool. Number three, they have pithy little statements. The third thing, or the fourth thing that you're going to see anytime you get into a book of Proverbs is this. A gentleman by the name of John Ortenberg in the Old Testament said there's three things that you'll always find. You're going to find law, you're going to find promises, and you're going to find proverbs. So what is the law? These are commandments by God that I must always follow. What are promises? Guarantees from God that will always come, that he'll always come through, or they will always come through. And then, of course, proverbs is what we've been defining it now. They're short descriptions of how things generally are. So we've already did one pop quiz. Let's do another pop quiz. I'm going to read a scripture to you. You tell me if it's a law, a promise, or a proverb. Ready for this? Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Perfect. Is there any time that we can't follow that law? Well, if an adulterous woman comes along, nope, still got to love the God. Like, it's a law all the time, something that we're supposed to be following. Mark 12, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a law. There you go. Okay, now I have two more, and the second one in the list is promise, so I'll give you a little heads up on that. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Promise. It's going to be there. He will be there for us. Hebrews 11, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promise. A promise. Okay, so I've already done four and covered two of them. I have two more ones for you. You guys are great at this. I'm the worst teacher in the world. You all get an A. So I don't know who claps like that, but I will never clap like that again. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. Proverbs. But here's the thing, is that true all the time? No. How many know people that are generous with their time, talent, and treasures, but it doesn't mean that they're prosperous in everything that they do? So we're going to talk in just a second. Proverbs work when you put them in a proper scenario. You can't just take a proverb. So the next one, it says this, Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor, they themselves, what, will come to poverty. Well, I know some people that are just oppressive to everybody, but they're still doing all right in life. So it's not true all the time, every time. So it's up to us to properly apply the truth that we find in Proverbs in the situation that we're living in. So number one of, are Proverbs true? It depends on the situation. But the one I kind of want to park on, it depends on this. It depends on your personality. So think about this. I have these scriptures for you. Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. So rather than pulling someone aside, in open, in public, better is that rebuke. Why? And you probably know this Proverbs. Wounds from a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. How many have ever heard that one before? So great, you already do know some Bible Proverbs. But what about this? Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath versus harsh words that stir up anger. To me, those two almost are a dichotomy. Because am I doing it softly, in private, or is it an open rebuke? And I would say this, it depends on your personality. Because some of you, us, have no problem going off the handle very quick and making it a public issue. But then there's some of us, more you than me, that would rather sit back in the corner and allow ourselves to get beaten up or the situation to go on and on and on versus ever stepping up and saying anything about it. So if you're one that blows up all the time, maybe a proverb good for us is better is soft. Let's look at our personality. Maybe it's better to be soft, but some of you that are always passive, maybe it's time for some open rebuke in order for you to, see what I'm saying, gain wisdom versus being the fool. So when it comes to these things, we have to look at what is the better way to do them in the book of Proverbs. So there's four different ways that we can look at the book of Proverbs. I have a fifth and final, then one more thought for you, and it's this. We started off by saying, what is the book of Proverbs? And we read scriptures 1-6. To end our conversation of, can I say this, point five, the end of our conversation is reading verse number 7. And verse number 7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord, what is the fear of the Lord? I'll answer that right in a second, is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. But a fool, On the other side of that, we're going to despise that wisdom, we're going to despise instruction, and we're not going to care about growing or letting God mold us in who we're supposed to be. So what is the fear of the Lord? I'm going to give you the briefest definition you've ever heard. Why? Because I know what next week is still to come. And the fear of the Lord isn't some sitting in the corner trembling, hoping a big bad God with a long beard and a staff doesn't come down and thump you on the head. That is not the definition. I would say the best definition of this, God, that's my definition. A-W-W-W-W. You know, there's times with my wife. How many have ever heard the phrase, you married up? I hear it a lot. Dare I say every Sunday. Someone brought a new one a while back. You're boxing above your weight class. Okay, thank you. Punching above your weight class, that's what it was. And so there are times that either we're going out on a date, maybe she's getting ready for something, she comes out of the bathroom, comes out of the bedroom, comes downstairs, wherever it might be, and she comes around the corner. And I promise you, I still look at her sometimes and go, how did I get you? Because I am in awe with my wife. I am in awe, and I mean this, that she ever looked at me and thought, that's good enough. You're in the checkout line, and they're like, there's a few bruised strawberries, and you're like, I can live with that. Like, that's how I feel when I look at my wife to me, because I'm still in awe of who she is. Because I know who I am versus who she is. But then how many times on a Sunday morning, on a regular work day, you wake up, you brew your coffee so your eyes don't go to sleep. You step out, thank you for that. You step out on the back patio on a beautiful morning, birds chirping, winds blowing, and you go, oh God, you're the creator of all of this. And you're just in awe of God. When your kids are coming off of a soccer field beating themselves up, and you say one little sentence like, would you trust the wisdom of your father versus your thoughts that you're feeling? And somehow it settles it, and you go, oh, God, thank you for letting me do that for my boy tonight. How many times have you been in a situation that it was going, let's just say, going to hell in a handbasket, and you walked in thinking it was going to be the worst meeting of your life, you don't know how you're going to get out of it, somehow you get out, and your job changed after so many years, and you just go, I think the fear of the Lord is to have our, oh, God, moments. That's, to me, what wisdom is. Wisdom, if you were to have my definition, it's the skill of living. The skill of living. What do I mean by that? Doing something today that you won't regret tomorrow. And I have just a brief story that I want to tell you at the expense of my own mother. And I don't mind doing it, because what she did lacked a whole lot of wisdom. See, it's uncomfortable right now because I shouldn't talk about a mom like that, but let me tell you the story. This past Easter, mom, I don't know why, I'm assuming bad medication. I'm serious. I don't think she does drugs, but I'm questioning her at this point of life. She decides to start a brand new tradition at Easter time. And is it putting money in the eggs for the kids to find? No, why be generous like that? Instead of buying candy, she thought she should buy every one of the families a rabbit to own, or excuse me, a duck to own. Who would buy a rabbit? But like a duck to own and raise at your personal house. This was mom's idea. And then, after the ducks raise to a certain point, because they can't fly, why would they want to go south? There literally are wingless ducks. I don't even know what they were. With orange marmalade, they look delicious. That's all I thought. But, like, won't be the worst joke I have. Wait for it. So mom decided to buy every one of us a duck so that we could all raise individually at our house to one day come back to her house 6 to 7 months later and release them into their pond so that from now on, every time she looks out her back window and see ducks swimming, she goes, oh, that's my family's ducks, which was stupid. Number one, do you know what ducks smell like? Number two, you know you got to keep them in your house. Number three, do you know you have to have a large Tupperware container with a light, with chip? Do you know how much ducks poop? They eat one pellet to drop three. It's a miracle. It's a modern day miracle. So they're constantly cleaning that out. And the reason mom didn't end up giving us the ducks, rather than every one of the kids looking at her going, don't give us the ducks, she had to buy Tupperware for every single kid, a heat lamp for every single kid, a feeding station for every kid, the chips for every one of the kids, and the grain for every one of the kids. And she realized this was too expensive and really dumb. But the problem is she has ducks now that she can't just throw outside. She's had ducks for over 6 months living in her foyer that they have to tend to every day. And do you know how you teach ducks to swim? You take them in your personal bathroom, which is a jacuzzi tub for three people. You fill it up and you let them swim around. But then you find out that when ducks, you get them out of water, they fall over. Do you know why? They're too bloated with water. You have to wait for them to drain before you put them back away. This is all, and we're like, out of your duck mind, what are you doing here? And so mom has admitted, which by the way, she's written two articles already, calling herself a fool. Because now you're stuck with this. How many times in your life do you make a decision thinking you're wise, you only end up having to live with the bad results for months to come? Here's the thing, wisdom is doing something today that you won't regret tomorrow. So what is the best way to gain wisdom? And I would say this is our takeaway for the day. I'm going to land it right here. It's this. If you want to gain wisdom, listen. Don't talk. When God in Deuteronomy was trying to tell Israel how to have healthy hearing or healthy living, he started with this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. And then he continues. If you want wisdom in your life, there's times that you need to close your mouth and open your ears. So I have one story on me that's very embarrassing, but it's true. It happened 20 years ago. So if you judge me now, it says more about you than me. But so when I went away for a discipleship class in order to move towards becoming a pastor, I had a great friend. His name was Ben. And we were two peas of the same pod. Look at that. Another Proverbs for you guys. So we're there, and we end up finding out that everyone would tell a story about their life. And most of the time when they told a story, we had a story that would one-up them. So we decided to play a game privately between the two of us to always one-up the story that they ever always told. It was going to be more exciting. It was going to be better told. And we actually got to the point where everybody in the class was always knowing that we were one-upping their story. To where the class actually confronted us of, are you guys making a game of this? Are you aware of this? And now you're sitting there going, we are aware of it. But let me tell you why. Like, we had even one up there on that one. And after that, years later, I actually realized I missed out on a whole lot of important conversations. Because while they were telling me their personal story and life adventure, I didn't hear a thing they were saying. My mind was racing for how I can one-up them. And if our whole life is about having a comeback, if our whole life is about one-upping someone, if our whole life is about looking smarter than they are, we're gonna miss out on some of life's greatest lessons because we refuse to listen. So how do we listen to God? I'm gonna do a practical exercise right now. By the way, if you're new to church, this may be weird, and I'm not trying to freak you out, but I'm gonna say a prayer. And as I'm praying, I'm going to ask you not to hear what I'm saying, but to listen to what's being said. And this isn't some mystical thing. God can speak to you even though I'm having words come out. So I'm going to say a brief prayer right here for two people. And as I say this prayer, see if you don't hear it. Don't think about anything else. Live right here in this present moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone who's here today who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Speak to them today and let them know that you want to love on them. God, I thank you for everyone who's here and knows you as their Savior. Today, God, would you bless them with just that solidification that they are your son or your daughter. So the number one key in learning is to listen to what God had to say. I know there's people around this room that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And what does that mean? Well, all the wisdom that Solomon compiled for us, because there was a God in heaven telling him the best way to live. But But that God was so interested in us living well that he came out of heaven onto earth, walked with us, and talked with us. And during that time period, yes, he gave us some more information, but ultimately, he wasn't captured. He wasn't wrongly accused. It wasn't a sham. He freely gave of himself to die on a cross so that we could live and have life abundant. In heaven, absolutely, but also here on earth. So when I say, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Ultimately, do you believe that God died for you so that you could live? That's the question that I'm asking. So here at Navigation Church, one of the things we do is that if you would like to say yes to Jesus Christ, if you'd like to believe that he died for you, we just invite you to raise your hand in the air. But I understand in a crowd like this, that could be very intimidating for you. So could I just ask everyone around the room to honor those that are with us today? Could you close your eyes and bow your head? And ultimately, I'm asking you to separate yourself so that someone can really feel isolated, so they feel like I'm talking to just them. And for those of you watching online, this same question is going to come to you. If you're here today and you are ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you believe that he died on the cross so that you could have life and life abundant and eternal life, if you're ready to say yes to a relationship with him because when I prayed earlier, you listened and something inside of you said yes, with every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you today, could I just ask you to raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision? Praise God. There's hands going up all around this room. Praise God. So those watching online, hands went up all around this room, and I believe you can raise your hand right where you're at, metaphorically, symbolically, whatever you'd like to do it. But the key thing is I'd love for you to repeat this prayer after me as I pray. So could everybody around this room say this? Dear Jesus, today I not only listened, but I heard. And I choose to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every decision that was made, every hand that went up. Your scriptures are so simple. It says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we're saved. It's no magic prayer or magic wand. It's the knowing and believing. Now for everybody in this room watching us online, and God, for me too, I say this in a selfish way, help us get wisdom. We get into your scriptures. Help us see truth for what it is. Gain understanding for what we're called to. But God, for us to live an abundant life and not a bankrupt life. I pray that for all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey.